One of the most fascinating sugyas of Baal HaTorah is the dream of Yaakov Avinu. I think it's safe to say that although Yaakov Avinu spent 14 years learning the Beis Medrash Shem Ve'ever, not sleeping, with tremendous hasmada, the revelations that Yaakov had in that one night of sleep were greater, that they outweighed all of the learning which he did in 14 years. We find that by the tzaddikim that they said, they testified about themselves, and they said in teaching Pnimius HaTorah, that it's shaykh that a person can learn in a night of sleep, to be able to attain such chachmah, far greater than what he should be able to learn in the Beis Medrash on a regular day. The Ari said to Reb Chaim Vital, it would take me 80 years to teach you what I learned in one night of sleep. Of course, it's far, and they speak about this, that a person, when he sleeps, he has a certain geula from this Seichel HaKatan, which we have, to access Meichen, the godless, a greater way of thinking. It's not only true when it comes to sleeping and being awake, but the Sfar Makdashim tell us that one can learn on Shabbos Kodesh much more than one can learn during the rest of the week. Or at night, the limit at night, the Zohar says, is Mesogah for Limit HaTorah. A person can accomplish in one night of learning more than he can accomplish during the day, many days. Chazal have so many different types of drushes, giluyim, in terms of what the significance of this dream was for Yaakov Avinu, how he saw literally from till the end of time with this dream. I want to focus on one nekud of the stream. Torah tells us, "Vayachal v'heimu sulam mutzav arza v'roish magiyah shemayma." This sulam, which was embedded in the ground and its head was going up to the heavens, "V'nei malachi alehim ma'alim v'yardim by." The malachim are going; they were going up and down on this ladder. So one of the questions that Chazal deal with is, why does it say in this order, Olim v'yardim, that they were going up and coming down? If we're talking about Malachim, so Malachim are usually coming from higher places. The proper order of the Chayr should be that the Malachim are Yardim v'Olim, that they were coming down and then going up. So what's pshat in this Olim v'yardim, that they were going up first and then they were coming down? Secondly, why is it, or I should say, how many are there? How many malachim were going up and coming down on this ladder? So Chazal told us there were four malachim. Two were going up and two were coming down. We're kind of left in the dark as to who they are. What's clear from Chazal is that this was not an ordinary ladder. We think, when we picture the scene of Yaakov Avinu from those drawings which we made in second grade, third grade, fourth grade, we're thinking that it's like a stick ladder, like a tiny ladder. But the truth is, Chazal tell us that each malach, an average malach, is this one third of the size of the world. If that's the case, if you're having four malachim trying to go down this ladder, that means that the actual ladder is the entire world plus a third. This is a giant ladder. It's a super ladder, and it holds four malachim on it. So what's the nature of these malachim? Who are these malachim? Why is it necessary to know that Yaakov is seeing malachi elikim? Is it just to teach us stam something about the story of this ladder? Of course not. Something much deeper than that. So from the Rishonim we find one mahalach, just mentioning it, Agav, as I quoted in the name of the Rosh HaTorah, that there are two infamous malachim from the Nephilim who came down parshas ago. These two evil malachim, their names are Azav and Azael. Azav and Azael were the ones who notoriously trained Bilam in all of his kishuf. Apparently they had some type of a kishuf camp where people would come and learn how to learn all the koichas atumah. So they were the heads of this organization. And a lot of the roes in this world are due to these two malachim. Chazal tell us that at the time of the Nephilim, they saw a certain young woman who they coveted, and they came down to Shemaim and they cornered her, and they told her that they were tovei her. So she was a very smart woman. She said, I'll only do it if you give me your wings. And they agreed. And she thereby took those wings and flew up to Shemayim and escaped. And they were left down below now as human beings. And Chazal say that the mazel of Elul, which is the basula, is this basula. This girl became the malach, the mazel of the chodesh of Elul. It comes back around Elul time, because Darshan, this whole Indian of the Sheikhs, is the chodesh of Elul. Another mahalach, though, that Chazal tell us, which is quoted here in Targum Yonasan, is what we want to focus on. Targum writes as follows, V'chalom v'ha sulma kavu ba'arav eishmat yatzei shmaya. V'atrein malachaya, and there were two malachim. There were two malachim, the azlu l'stayim. There are two malachim who went to stone. V'itchidu mimichitzasayin. And they were banished from the rest of the malachim. And he explains, min beglal de galyon mastirin de mayor alma, because they revealed secrets of Hashem. They revealed secrets of Hashem. V'hav matridin v'ozlin, they were like nov and not ba'aretz a little bit, ad zman de nofak Yaakov v'savoy, until Yaakov left his father's house. V'hinun lovan yaseh b'chizda, ad beis er l'vahoy, yayim asalkin l'shmim arayma, and it was on that day that they went up to Shemayim. They followed Yaakov wherever he went. Anin v'amin, as they were going up, they said, "Isun chaman Yaakov chasida dikunu dilei kaviya b'chosei yekara." They were going up, and they said, "The face of this man down here is the same face on the kisei." The haveisu mischamdu lemech miyasei v'chin sham alachay kedusha ad Hashem nachzam mistaklebal. When they said this, they made this announcement, so other malachim started to come down, and they wanted to see how it is that the face of the kisei matched the face of this human being at the Makam HaMikdash. It's like an unbelievable peek, sneak peek into a whole Maisa, which began a few parshas ago, where the Malachim were sent down to stone, and we don't really know whatever happened to those Malachim, but here Targum Yonasan tells us that the two Malachim who went down to stone, that although when the job is done, they're supposed to go back up to Shemayim, they were banished from returning, and they had to stay down here. It was only after 138 years they were able to go back up to Shemayim. Now the Perish Yonasan is going to fill us in a little bit as to what's going on here, because the words of the Targum Yonasan are very sasam. All he says is, Miglad the Gayim Mastirin de my Alma, because they revealed the secrets of Hashem. Now, what secrets exactly did these Malachim reveal that they had such a harsh punishment? So he writes as follows, Ayidei Shigilu Sodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by revealing Hashem's secrets, b'masha amru shenashches es ha'ir. They said the words, hininu mashchisim, or anachnu mashchisim es ha'ir, we're here to destroy the city. V'kadosh baruch hu lo shalchan, ela l'hatzel es light. They weren't sent to say anything, nobody told them to say anything. Then he has a whole bavorning over here, he says, afagav the milsa davidu degluye, he says, even though it's a milsa with degluye, why is it so terrible, he's miyashiv, why it's so terrible. Point being that these malachim, they revealed the secret of Hashem, which they were not told to reveal. Just like in this world, there's Hilchas Derech Eretz, in Shemayim there's also a Hilchas Derech Eretz. One of the very strict rules in Shemayim is not to reveal secrets. Secrets are one of those things which are very precious in the higher worlds. That's why Yaakov Reuveni actually brings in this week's parasha, in Simen Lametes, I think it's quoted in the Tzioini, the Sefer Tzioini, who writes on this inyan. He's not talking about Targum Yonasan, but he writes Agav, he's speaking about this inyan. He writes, Makpidim ba'od b'shamayim agilu sod. In Shemayim, they're very makpid about telling over secrets. Ve'ein malachim yechadnu ledaber sod b'fnei adam. Malachim have to keep secrets very quiet. Pen yefarsim b'fnei adam, lest people should know about it. Uchsiv, because the pasuk says, Kevoid Hashem hastar davar. The covenant of Hashem, that things remain concealed. So these malachim, inadvertently, they violated this commandment, this hanhaga in Shemayim, not revealing secrets. And seemingly, according to the way Peir Shonasan understands, by saying that they are here to be mashchis esayir, they were over on this inyan, and for that, they were banished. However, this needs a little bit of iyan. This needs a little bit of understanding that because they revealed this secret, they were banished. How is the punishment commensurate to the crime? We have this call also by the tzaddikim too. You know, the pasuk says, "Soyed Hashem li'reyach." Hashem only reveals secrets to those who fear Him. That a tzaddik has to be somebody who knows how to keep a secret. And one of the reasons is, and we're not going to get into the whole hashkafa of this now, but a tzaddik lives in a very private world with Hashem. And although a person has to be me'urv in a brios, the tzaddik is mesiachid with Hashem. He has a very private dialogue with Hashem. He's in the world of his own, the tzaddik. And he can lose all of that kurva by revealing things which are not meant to be revealed. So tzaddik, one of the derech eretzes of a tzaddik, the nhagas of a tzaddik, is to know how to be an ish pnimi. And part of being an ish pnimi is knowing, being in the company of malachim, knowing the secrets of how a higher person conducts himself. This is the concept of Seyed Hashem Lireyav, which goes a lot to do with Mishnah Chagiga and the Gemara there, which explains how and in which oifen a Rebbe can reveal secrets of Torah to Talmidim. Ein kan makom l'harach b'zeh. If you take a look at the whole conversation that Hashem has with Avram Avinu before the destruction of stone, the words there are very sussum. You and I know from Chazal that these malachim were sent, the three malachim were sent, although the Torah doesn't say that, the Torah calls them people, the three malachim were sent to go to the house of Avram Avinu. One of them was there to be mevaser to Avram the birth of the child. Two were supposed to go down to Stoim, one to save Lot, and the other one to destroy the city. But if you take a look at the Psukim, there's no great gilui of that at all. The only thing which we find is Vayakumu Mishem HaNashim, the malachim got up, Vayashkifu Al Pnei Stom, and they were looking at stone. They were looking. Rashi happens to say that Lashon Hashkafa means that not such good things are coming. But the Torah doesn't say anything like that. In fact, if you take a look at what Hashem says over here, it's very, very cryptic. What does Hashem say? Hashem Amar, HaMechase Ani Mi'Avram Asher Ani Oiseh. Am I not going to tell Avram what I'm about to do? Avram's going to be a very great nation. He's going to teach his children about Chesed. And then Hashem makes a statement which is, he's speaking to himself. There's a very great cry which I hear. There's a very big avera which is being done. Let me go down and take a look. Chazal have a whole drasha about a certain basula, also interestingly enough, that they made a big Hashem, I guess, out of her. Haboilai Vasukala. Hashem says, Haboilai Asukala. There's a big cry which is coming to me. And Hashem says, Asu Kala. Vimloi Eda'a. These words cannot be understood without Chazal. What's going on over here? Hashem is like speaking to himself very cryptically. Can't even translate these words. Vayifnu Misham Hanashim, and the Malachim go there, Vayuchu Stoma, and Avram is standing in front of Hashem, and Avram is pleading on behalf of Stoma, that he shouldn't destroy Stoma. Avram seems to know. I mean, Avram understood what was going on over here. But from the actual context and the content of the Psukim and Hashem's Lashon, we have no idea what's going on. And Avram Avinu is pleading with Hashem Yisbarach not to destroy stone. And each time that Avram Avinu throws out a number, it should be 50, 45, 40. So what does Hashem say? Hashem says, if you're right, loy ashris. If I find it, loy ashris. Repeatedly, Hashem is saying, loy ashris, loy ashris. What does it mean that Hashem is saying, loy ashris? Be'etzim Hashem Yisbarach does not want to destroy stone. He doesn't want to destroy stone. Halavad they should do tshuva, just like he didn't want to destroy Nineveh. Just like he waited 120 years at the door of Malbush should do tshuva. He did not want to destroy stone. That's a very last resort to destroy stone. And each time that Hashem Yisbarach says, loy ashris ba'avur hachamishim, loy ashris ba'avur arboim, there's a concept in Pimis called He'emanti ki adabre. The more that you speak about something, the more that it becomes ingrained in you. Each time that Hashem says, Lay Ashkhis, Lay Ashkhis, Lay Ashkhis, he doesn't want to destroy stone. And as soon as Avram doesn't go below 10, which is a shadow whether he could have, should have gone below 10, all the Torah tells us is, Vayelech Hashem kashakilu ladabre l'Avram, that Hashem went, when Avram stopped speaking, Ve'avram shav limekaymai. And then it says that two malachim go down to stone. Say, why are they going down? So it could very well be, that it was not Hashem Yisbarach's intention to destroy stone, legamri. And in fact, it could be that the reason why the chasanim of light, that they laughed when the malachim said, we're here to destroy the city, because that was the very first mention that anybody said about destroying stone. And it could be that the Shoresh and Shemayim was not Nigmar. There was no Gmar Din yet on stone that it should be destroyed. And since in the Shoresh Elyon, there was not a Gmar Din, it wasn't a Psak yet that stone should be destroyed, they heard that, they laughed. They heard that and they laughed. The first one to say that they were going to destroy stone was this Malach. And he revealed secrets. He may have understood that it was a possibility. And they were over on that Derech Eretz. But they said, Mashchisim anachnu esair. Now Rashi learns over here, when they said Mashchisim anachnu esair, the reason why they were banished, the reason why they did an Aveira here, is because they attributed it to themselves. They said, Mashchisim anachnu. They took credit for it. When really it was Hashem Yisbarach who was doing it. It's interesting to point out that when a Malach comes into this world, it doesn't go so easy for a Malach all the time. We think that a Malach, that he doesn't have a Bechira, he comes into this world, everything is good for him, is not true. Anytime that a Malach comes into this world, it depends how he comes into this world. If he comes into this world in Malach form, then it's certainly much easier because able to maintain his Malachness in this world of physical Matzias. But if a Malach comes down and dresses up, he takes on the form of a human, then he's bound by human qualities. Right? There's a whole shaila whether the Malachim ate or not. Right? Normally a Malach doesn't eat. But there's a day which says that the Malachim ate, not that they faked eating, they ate mamish that they ate. They ate! How can they eat? Teretz is because when you become into this world and you take on human form, you act like a human. If a human eats, then a Malach also eats. That's the pshat why that I don't know if remember if it's Chazal, if the Sfarim say so. I think it's maybe the Balatanya, I forget who exactly says this. It says that Hashem Yisbarach himself had to come down, Makas Bechayres, to take the din out of Mitzrayim. Why not send the Malach? Because had the Malachim come down into this world, the Tumah was so thick in Mitzrayim, they would not have been able to leave. They would become so nizgashim, they wouldn't be able to have left Mitzrayim. So Malach is influenced by this world. You see, like these malachim, the nephilim, they came down into this world and they were completely nechshol. So they came down into this world and they said, "Anachnu mashchisim esair." Whether they credited themselves for this, or they were revealing secrets they shouldn't have revealed, or perhaps you can say the pshat is that they revealed the secret, and by doing so, they created a psak and a gemar din on stone that it should be destroyed. Inami, perhaps alternatively, that although it may not have been completely true that there was a gemar din on the entire city of stone, even if you want to say that it's true, and that wasn't the reason why they were held accountable for, it could be that there was one person who died in stone who should not have been killed. And that's Ishus Light. Because you see that in the same way that in the schus of Noach, all of Noach's family was saved, so too, in the schus of Lot, which is really the schus of Avram, all of Lot's family should have been saved as well. Everybody was given an opportunity to be saved. The Malachim, they said, by the way, nobody looked behind. And since somebody looked behind, Eishes Lot was nitlas. But we don't find again anywhere that they were given rishus to say that either. Now imagine had Eishes Lot not been killed, and she made it out of life. The whole destiny of history was changed forever. Because what ends up happening? Lloyd runs to these mountains. He's with his two daughters. He thinks the whole world is destroyed, and he's mezana with these two daughters of his. And if it's in that ugly place that Mashiach ben David has to come from, but imagine had Eishes Lot been saved, this whole thing would never have transpired. So it could be that either they held accountable for the whole hashchasa of Stein, or, if not for the whole city, at the very least for Eishes Lot. Al kaponim, whatever it is, you see there's an idea here that we can hold them responsible or accountable for a certain element of Ritzicha. Ritzicha b'shaigig, which took place in Stein. With this, we have an understanding. If we take that for granted, we understand this, why it is that the malachim were not allowed to go back up to Shemayim. You can understand the midah keneged midah here, or the einish. Because the halacha is by Ratzeach b'shoigeg that he has to leave his town, he has to go to near Miklat. And since these malachim have a din Ratzeach b'shoigeg and they're banished from coming up, so the reason why they're nav and ad ba'aretz is because they're looking for their near Miklat. They have a chiv to go to near Miklat. This is the fate of Ratzeach b'shoigeg. And they find Yaakov Avinu. Now, why is Yaakov so important? What does Yaakov have to do with these malachim? So if you take a look at the Medrash, how it opens up in Tanchuma, in this week's parasha, you find something very fascinating. The Medrash says, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, they ask Rabbi Tanchuma, Ha-harig is ha-nefesh b'shkaga. If one kills somebody else b'shkaga, le-heichen ha-yagayla, where does he go to? So he taught them, Ha-harig nefesh b'shkaga, goyle li'ir miklat. V'Yaakov Avinu gala l'charan. When Yaakov left the house of Yitzhak, he was going to Charan. B'yreyach b'nafshay v'nisyari shelo yaharag o'yisei harasha Esav achiv. He was afraid that Esav should kill him. Now the Medrash is telling us that Yaakov's fear of being killed by Esav wasn't just because he stole the brachas and Esav wants to kill him. Yaakov was afraid because Esav has a legitimate tain al pidin. That's what the Torah is teaching us. The Medrash is saying that Yaakov is fleeing for his life because he has a din of a Ratzeach b'shogeg. He needs an ir mikla to save himself. That means that Esav has a legitimate taina against Yaakov. And Yaakov is afraid of that. Of course, he needs a hesber why it is that Yaakov, after following all of the directions of Rivka, seemingly done everything that he was supposed to do, al pi ruach hakodesh, al pi nevuah, why should he be held accountable on some level for what took place here? You can look at Orgad Layo, he talks about this. But it's clear from Chazal that they tell us that because Yaakov caused Esav this za'aka, it says by Yizak, that he cried a bitter cry over this b'chayra, that Hashem paid him back in the times of Mordechai v'Esther. Paid him back in the times of Mordechai v'Esther? It means that Yaakov is held accountable for that. And there's a hezber, but it's a longer inyan, has to do with also why he held. This week's parasha is Bedin in the box. It has to do with the whole emunah which he has in the Shairish of Esav. Be it as it may, Yaakov Avinu has a din Ritzich B'shagig. And Yaakov is going to Charan because he's afraid of the Charanaf of Esav. That Esav is the Goyal Hadam. And he's upset. And he's right to kill Yaakov. So that's true. We have a very good shidduch now between the Malachim and Yaakov. Because Yaakov is Ritzich B'shagig, and he's running for his life. And these malachim are also Ritzich B'shagig, and they're looking for an Ir Miklat. And where does Yaakov go for his Ir Miklat? Where does he stop off on the way? He goes to Shein Ve'er. Right? There's no better Ir Miklat than the house of Torah. Magnu Matzla. Nothing which protects a Jew more than the Torah, the Schus of Torah. And Yaakovinu was there for 14 years. In the Bis Medrash of Shein Ve'er. You can also say the reason why he went dafka to the Bis Medrash of Shein Ve'ever is because Shein was the one who told Rivka, the Nevuah, that Esav would be subject to Yaakov. V'rav Yavait Sayer. Shein was the one who revealed that there was going to be a dispute about the Bechara, and the younger one would be the one who would be the actual Bechar, the real Bechar. V'rav Yavait Sayer. So since Shein had already said B'Nevuah, that this was going to happen, which is probably how Rivka knew, meaning that when Rivka says to Yaakov, I know about this, and Targum says, Allah Yisama bin Navua was told to me in Navua that this should happen. I don't know if it means that she was zeichet to Navua now to do this. What it means probably is that she knew already from shame that this was supposed to happen, that Yaakov was supposed to take the Bechayra from Esav. So since the Nevuah emerged from that base medrash, that the Bechari was due to Yaakov, he felt very secure there, that the Schus of Shem should protect him from Esav, because this was what was said. So he had a special shmira there. So it would seem that the Malachim also found refuge together with Yaakov in the base medrash of Shein Ve'er. This was the Ir Miklat. That being said, it could be the reason why Yaakov didn't sleep for 14 years is because he was in the company of Malachim. Malach doesn't sleep. Right, just like Moshe Rabbeinu up to 40 days, 40 nights in Shemayim, and he didn't sleep there. So Yaakov had his Chavaya Kedisha with these malachim. And there, Yaakov didn't sleep either for 14 years. And probably he learned there Soidus HaTorah from these malachim. And the bracha which Yitzchak gave Yaakov was Niskayim right away. What was the bracha that Yitzchak gave Yaakov? V'yitin lecha elohim mital ha-shamayim. Which means Torah. Shbizayichet, tal always means tal tchiyah, which means Soidus of Torah. Torah min ha-shamayim. And by going to the Ir Miklat, to the Beis Medrash of Shein Ve'ever, together with these malachim, so the bracha was Niskayim right away. V'yitin lecha elohim mital ha-shamayim. V'yitzayichet, tal ha-shamayim. In that Beis Medrash of Shein Ve'ever, together with these malachim. So now Yaakov Avinu is running, and he's continuing to run for his life, and he's going to Charan, and he stops off in the Makom HaMikdash, which comes to him, and he takes this shluf, and he sees the Malachim going up and coming down. So what's going on now? So the Malachim, who were with Yaakov, who were running for their lives together with Yaakov, now it's their time to go up to Shemayim. Now, why do the Malachim have the right now to go up to Shemayim? How does that work? So one of the halachas which we know when it comes to Ir Miklat is that the Pesach that a Ratzeach B'Shogeg has in order to leave their Miklat is with the death of the Kohen Gadol. Death of the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol allows all the Reitzchim to be free. Of course, it needs a hesber why that is. Why should the death of the Kohen Gadol allow such a thing to happen? Teretz is that a tzaddik, the greatest day on the life of the tzaddik is the day of his death. Like Rav Shimon Yochai said, he called the day of the death of a tzaddik a hilula. It's a very big simcha and shema when a tzaddik dies. The tzaddik has the ability to be mala all the rishon. He's able to fix many, many neshamas on the day of his death. He's able to accomplish more on the day of his death than he's able to accomplish in his whole lifetime. Like we said before, that there are certain moments and times and opportunities which are very mesugal, like on Shabbos or sleep. The death of the tzaddik, the day of the death of the tzaddik, is we know it's mechaper, right? Misa tzaddikim mechaperes. But he's able to take out all the rishayim from Gehenna. The Zohar talks about how when a tzaddik, when he goes up to his special place in Shemayim, he passes through Gehenna, and when he passes through Gehenna, he's mala all the rishayim from Gehenna there. This is the pshat which Chazal say, Gidoylim tzaddikim b'misasam yorisim b'chayayim. That a tzaddik does more, he's greater in his death than he is in his lifetime. Because the day of the death of a tzaddik, he's able to be mala. Do tremendous things on the day of his death. So a tzaddik, like the Kohen Gadol, when he dies, not only the neshamas who had passed already, but the neshamas in this world, all the reitzchim, that they have a bechina of being in Gehenna, so to speak, because of the retzicha, he's able to be malin to take them out of the Ir Mikla with his death. Now we know that before the kahuna was given to Kayanim, that the kahuna belonged to the Bechor. The whole dispute between Yaakov and Esav was what? Esav says, why do I need this? Why don't you serve the Beis HaMikdash? It's too hard for me. And he sells it to Yaakov. By doing so, Yaakov is kohen, the rights in the schus to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Yaakov is the kohen. And Chazal say explicitly that Yaakov has bechin of a kohen gadol. So therefore, Rabbi Yisai, observe this, take a look at this from this perspective. Yaakov Avinu, right, is going to sleep in the Makom HaMikdash. Yaakov Avinu hasn't slept in 14 years. He hasn't slept in 14 years. Yaakov Avinu is now forced to take a sleep. Hashem Yisbarach forces him to take a sleep. Right? We know that sleeping is not just stam sleeping. The Gemara tells us that sleeping is like 1/60th of Misa. Not only that, but the Zohar says that any Yerida for a Tzaddik is called a Misa. Vayomas. When a Tzaddik goes down from his Madrega, it's called a Misa for a Tzaddik. So here Yaakov is learning about some other 14 years straight. He has to take a sleep in the Makom HaMikdash. Right? That's a Bechin of a Misa for Yaakov. So what does it mean when Yaakov, the Kohen Gadol, takes a Shluf? You know what that means? It's called a Misa of the Kohen Gadol. Since the Kohen Gadol, which is Yaakov Avinu, has a Misa on that day. So Mameila, all the rights from Mishoigi, have a free pass to go up. So Mameila, that's why these two Malachim, These Reitzchim B'Shoigin, who were following Yaakov all along, they seized the opportunity with the Misas of Yaakov to go up in the Sulam, to go up to Shemayim. So we understand why it says Oilim V'Yardim Bai. Why is it Oilim first and then Yardim? Because what's happening is that we're talking about two Malachim who are going up, who are here. Right? The Medrash says that. Oilim V'Yardim, the two Malachim are going up first, and then Malachim are coming down. But the reason why they're going up is because they've been here for 138 years because of what's due to them from Stein. And that's through the Mis of the Kohen Gadol, which is the Bechin of Yaakov. One of the things that Yaakov does with this sleeping in the Makam Mikdash is that he does a shtikl aveira. The Torah says it, that the institution of Ma'ariv is called Vayifka Bamakom. Rashi has to, the Gemara has to find a whole couple of psukim in order to justify why the word Vayifka is a lashon tefila. It's a very uncommon word to use for tefila. It's Vayifka Bamakom, Yaakov davens in the Makam Mikdash. But Vayifka means that he made a pagam by sleeping there. As Yaakov says, right? Rashi quotes it. Yaakov wakes up and he says, had I known, I would never have slept here. And in fact, Chazal tell us in the Medrash that the Malachim, that they saw Yaakov sleeping there, and they all wanted to hurt him. It's Vayifka means they wanted to be Masik Yaakov Avinu for sleeping in the Makam HaMikdash. Which is why the Torah has to tell us, V'inei Hashem nitzav alav, that Hashem had to protect him. Meaning, normally a Malach is sent to protect the Tzadik. Malach avitzav alach yishmarach b'chol derechava. But here all the Malachim were ganging up against Yaakov. How can you sleep in the Makam HaMikdash? So Hashem himself had to protect. Because in the Chitzonius world, Yaakov was doing an Aveira. But in Pimius, Hashem Yisparach wanted him to sleep in the Makom HaMikdash. He forced him to sleep in the Makom HaMikdash. Hashem had to protect him. It's called an Aveira Lishma. Called an Aveira Lishma. Yaakov did an Aveira Lishma to sleep in the Makom HaMikdash. So you see that the whole institution of Ma'ariv comes from an Aveira Lishma. And the reason why that is because really, only the daytime is Zman Tefillah. The nighttime is not really Zman Tefillah at all. Like you find that Eretz Yisrael is called the Makom Tefillah, but in Mitzrayim, there's no davening in Mitzrayim. Laila is not really Zman Tefillah. The day is Zman Tefillah. But Hashem Yisparach wanted that the institution of Ma'ariv should be what? Through the concept of an Aveira, which is an Aveira Lishma. This is really the correlation between Yaakov's going to Shein Ve'Ever and subsequently instituting the Tefillah of Ma'ariv here with Laila. Because Shein Ve'Ever is like a Lashon of Aveira Lishma. Shame is Lishma, and Aver is Aveira. So going to the base medrash of Shame Ve'Aver, Yaakov learned the whole Indian of an Aveira Lishma. And now that he had learned about an Aveira Lishma, he leaves base medrash Shame Ve'Aver, comes to the Makom HaMikdash, and institutes Tfilas Ma'ariv as an Aveira Lishma, which is called Arvis. Arvis is a Lashon Aveira, to be Oiver. Of course, it's, we have to switch around the Oisius a little bit. But it's called a Bechin of an Aveira Lishma, which is able to institute the Tefillah of Ma'ariv. Now, this is another reason why this is critical, is because sometimes, as Faramal speak about, in order for a tzaddik to be ma'ale, neshamas which have fallen, they need to do a shtikl aveira to connect with those people. I know the Melech talks about this a lot, that a tzaddik has to lower himself down to the madrigas of other people who have fallen in order to be ma'ale them. So here Yaakov Avinu needed to do what? He needed to bring himself down, as the tzaddik is said, Olam, do a shtikl aveira to lower himself down, to be ma'ale neshamas which had fallen. So this is also important to note why he does this Vayifka B'makom. It's done to an Aveira Lishma, since he had to raise up these Nefilim, these Malachim who had, so to speak, fallen, I guess, who are below, to be Ma'ala them. So it was necessary this Vayifka B'makom in order to be Ma'ala these Neshamas. Now, who were these two Neshamas? I'm sorry, these two Malachim. So we know that Michael, Gavriel, and Raphael were sent down to the house of Avram Avinu. Now, there's a difference in between the Gemara, what the Gemara says, and what the Medrash says, how exactly these roles played out. But the way that Rashi learns, which is not like the Gemara, Rashi learns like the Medrash, is that Michael was in charge of telling Yaakov and telling Avram Avinu that Yitzchak would be born. Gavriel was responsible for the destruction of Stein, and Raphael was there to heal Avram Avinu and also to save light. I am Malachin at Tushlichases, Teretz, Refuah Behatzal Lechadi. That really one thing. Right? So who goes down to Stein? Gavriel and Raphael. Gavriel and Raphael go down. Michael's okay. He's allowed to go back up right away. But Gavriel and Raphael go down to Stein and they say, Mashchisim Anachnu Esair. And because they say Mashchisim Anachnu Esair, they've been around for 138 years. Right? Can you imagine what type of a tumult this was in Shemayim? Gavil and Refah from the biggest malachim. Right? It's like saying, like, Rav Chaim Kanevsky has to go to Siberia for 138 years. Yeah, that'd be a big tumult for the Jewish people. So these malachim were in this world for 138 years. Gavil and Refah. So it's actually Merum is very nicely, there's a very nice gematria which is Meramis to this, because the Torah says, Vihine Sula Mutz of Arza, Virash Magir Shamaima, Vihine Machel Lakim Ailam Vyardimbai. So what it talks about the Sulam right here, Sula Mutz of Arza is gematria, Gavriel Rafa. And then it says, Malachel Lakim Ailam Vyardimbai. The Gavriel and Rafa are these malach. I thought to say, actually, just to be myself a little bit, perhaps you could say, that according to what we said before, that the malachim were held accountable, perhaps, for the death of Eshes Lot, we know that the Torah tells us, over here by Yaakov Avinu, it says, V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav, that the malachim came up because Hashem was nitzav alav. And then it says that Yaakov made a matzeva. This lashon of nitzav and matzeva really goes back to Eshes Lot, because the Torah says, V'tehi nitziv melach, and she was the Netziv Melach. So in the same way that they were Nenash because of that Vatihi Netziv Melach, so too that the pathway to get up was Dafka through this pathway of V'yinei Hashem Nitzav Alav, and through the Matzeva that Yaakov made. This was the channel to bring up these Malachim because of the Vatihi Netziv Melach. Now we're able to identify which two Malachim had to go up, which is Gavriel and Rafael. And now two Malachim are coming down. Now, who were the Malachim who were coming down? So we have a little glimpse, perhaps, into the malachim who were coming down from later on in the parsha. We know that Yaakov goes down into the house of Lavan with a chalaim, and he also leaves with a chalaim. Then it says that he sees in a dream, akudim, nekudim, ubrudim, he sees all these sheep floating around. And it says that in this vision of this dream, the Torah tells us that a malach comes to him. It says, vayomer elai ha-malach ha-elekim, b'chalaim Yaakov, vayomer hineini. The malach elekim says to Yaakov, I'm here. And he says, hineini. And the Torah calls this malach what? A malach elakim. That's what he's called. Now, he's being called a malach elakim at the end of the parsha. Corresponds for sure to the malach elakim in the beginning of the parsha. Because what did it say there? V'inei malach elakim oylem v'yordim bay. So two malachim went up and two malachim came down. So why do we need to know two malachim came down? Torah says because we're going to need them later in the parsha. Because a malach elakim comes to Yaakov. It's one of these malachim. It's called malach elakim. One of the malachim comes to Yaakov and he says, Yaakov, you know, I'm here to tell you it's time to leave. You came down here with a dream, that's when we came down. We're here again to tell you it's time to leave. And in fact, what does the Malach say to him? The Malach says, Anoichi ha-keel beis el ha-shamashachta shamatzeva. And he says, I am the keel from that time by the matzeva where you took a shluf from the Makom HaMikdash. Right? The Malach has a shaykh to that place. The Malach is saying, that's me. You know me from before. I'm here to tell you it's time to leave. So the Perish Tosas HaSholem, he says that this Malach is Michael. It's Michael. It goes very nicely because what? Michael, Gavriel, and Raphael was the Chever that was sent down the first time to Avram Avinu. Gavriel and Raphael got stuck. Now Gavriel and Raphael are going up, so it makes sense that Michael should come down. It will have this like a line change, like in, right? It's like these two are coming up and then these two are coming down. So, Michael is coming down, Gavriel and Raphael are coming up. So Michael is the one who comes to Yaakov and he says, time to leave. It's very nice in the remez because the Torah says, V'inei malachei elekim olim v'yardim bay. Malachei is the oisiyais Michael, right? Michael. So the Michael is a part of the cheshbon here. If Gavriel and Raphael are the ones going up, that means that Michael is coming down. Michael is coming down. Goes very nicely as well because Yaakov and Michael have a very strong connection with each other. We said before that in the Makom HaMikdash, Yaakov revealed his kahuna that the sleeping of, after being mekabel the Bechayr and the Brachos, he had a din kohen, and sleeping in the Makom HaMikdash now was considered to be a Mises kohen gadol. It has a shaykhis to Michael because Michael is considered to be the kohen gadol in Shemayim. Just like there's a kohen gadol in this world, Michael is called the kohen gadol in Shemayim. And in fact, Yaakov Ravini in Simon Samaches in the parasha says, Lefi Yaakov Kohen, just like Yaakov is a Kohen, Kach Saro Michael. So too, Yaakov's Malach, which is Michael, Lovish Bigdi Kahuna. He's also wears the clothes of Kahuna. So Yaakov and Michael go together, they're both Kayanim. And Michael is considered to be the Malach of Yaakov, which is there to protect Yaakov. Which is why when Yaakov says at the end of his life, HaMalach HaGoyel Asimi Kol Ra, Mepharshim learned that that Malach is Michael. Some say it's the Shekhinah. But the understanding is that Yaakov is saying, this Malach HaGoyel Asimi Kol Ra, Yaakov's special Malach is a Malach Michael. Malach Michael. So here, Gavriel and Raphael go up, and the Malach Michael is sent down to what? To protect Yaakov. He's the one who's protecting Yaakov in the house of Lavan, and he's going to protect Yaakov against Esav. Right? This is the Malach. In fact, this is Vayishtach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav. So Chazal tells us, Mefarshim say, the Malach which Yaakov sent, at least one of the three Malachim which Yaakov sent, is the Malach Raphael, Michael. Yaakov sent Michael. Because Michael is the one who's been charged to protect his lower self, which is Yaakov Avinu in this world. Now, who's the other Malach that came down together with Michael? Yeah, we're kind of stuck because we don't know too many Malachim. Yeah, we know about maybe Uriel and Nubiel, and probably not. You know, there's a whole list. When you say Hodu Lashem Ki Toib Ki Lam Chazdei, there's 26 Hodus. So each one of those Hodus, Ki Lam Chazdei, corresponds to another Malach. So in the Sidurim Al Pi Pnimius, it tells you each Malach which says that Shira, and since an Adam is higher than a Malach, we can say all 26. But really, each one of those lines of Hoydi Lashem Kitav Kin Wa'asa, Yomina Go, you know, the whole thing, each one of those 26 corresponds to a different Malach, because Malach can only really say one Shira. There's all different types of Malach. I mean, Dushiel, and I don't remember their names. There's lots of names in the Malach. So, Lanis Daiti, perhaps the other Malach which came down together with Michael, was the Sarah Shal Esav. Since all that's not so good, it's being done to Sarah Shal Esav. Why would we want that Malach to come down? Teretz is like we said before, that on the one hand, Yaakov Avinu did a mitzvah by sleeping in the Makam HaMikdash, and for that he deserved Michael. And Hashem brought him that Michael. But from the tzaddik, he slept in the Makam HaMikdash and he did an Aveira, he brought down with him the Sarah Shal Esav. He brought down the Sarah Shal Esav. That's why it's called Malach Elokim. Malach is Michael, but Elokim is the Midas Adin. That refers to the Sarah Shal Esav. Since he was over on the Shuas Adin by sleeping in the Makam HaMikdash, so Michael comes down, but the Sarah Shal Esav comes down as well. And we know that Michael and Sarah Shal Esav are Zelu Umazah. They're opposite to Yisrael. Michael is considered to be the Sanegor in Shal Yisrael. He's the protector of the Jewish people. Whereas the Sarah Shal Esav is a big Makatrik against Jewish people. The Malach, the Sarah Shal Esav and the Malach HaMavis are Hainu Hach. And the Gemara tells us in Brachos, in the beginning of Brachos, because the Gemara says, when it speaks about Kvitzas HaDerech of the Malachim, so it says, Michael Ba'achas. Michael can jump across the world in one swoop. Gavriel B'shtayim, Eliyahu B'arba, and the Malach HaMavis B'shmayna, he's much slower than them, but B'shas Mageifa, he can go Ba'achas also. He can also make one big swoop. So you see that Michael goes in one, and the Malach HaMavis goes in one. That's the Sarah Shal Esav. So, there's Zelu Maseh, Michael and the Sarah Shal Esav. In fact, I thought to say, I just mentioned Agav, that the Torah tells us, that as soon as Gavriel and Raphael left Yaakov, the Torah says, Vayisa Yaakov Raglav. Yaakov picked up his legs. So the Mepharshim have different interpretations of what that means. Some say that Yaakov went very quickly. Some say no. Vayisa Yaakov Raglav means that his feet became very heavy on him. So why should they become heavy? So the Torah says, as long as you're in the company of the Malachim of Gavriel and Raphael, so we had a Kvitzas HaDerech, just like a Malach has Kvitzas HaDerech. Like the Gemara says, Gavriel B'shtayim. Right? So as long as Yaakov is hanging out with Gavriel and Raphael, so he has the kayach of Gavriel B'shtayim, he can go very quickly, he has Kvitzas HaDerech. But as soon as the Malachim went back up, the Torah says, Vayisa Yaakov Raglav, his feet became very heavy. Because when you're used to flying like a Malach, and you have human feet again, so it feels heavy to you. That's called Vayisa Yaakov Raglav. So be it as it may, here, who's coming down? Michael and Sarah Shal Esav are coming down. Michael mitzad the mitzvah which Yaakov did, and Sarah Shal Esav mitzad the aveira that Yaakov did. That's why you find what? Then in this week's parasha, Parashas Vayishlach, the Torah tells us that Yaakov, he sends Michael to Esav, and he's protecting Yaakov, and he's working on his behalf. All of a sudden what happens? Vayivaser Yaakov levado, all of a sudden Yaakov is by himself. Vayavik Yishimai, who comes to fight with him? Sarah Shal Esav. Why? What does it mean, Levadai? Because as long as Yaakov has Michael in his company, then he can't do anything to Yaakov Avinu. Michael stands to protect him. But as soon as Michael leaves Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov was able to slip away from Michal for a moment. I don't know exactly what the circumstances were. But the Torah tells you that Yaakov was levado, that he was by himself, he was vulnerable. As soon as he was vulnerable, immediately the Sarah Shalitzav comes and he makes an attack against Yaakov. Why can he make an attack against Yaakov? Why is he allowed to do that? Teretz is because he slept in the Makam HaMikdash. And everybody's very upset about that. All the Malachim are upset about that. There's a kitchuk against Yaakov for having slept in the Makam HaMikdash. Because of that, they have a tain against Yaakov Avinu. That's where the Sarah Shalitzav is, to make this Mechama against Yaakov Avinu for sleeping in the Makam HaMikdash. This whole idea of sleeping in the Makam HaMikdash and the whole story here with Yaakov Avinu has a very strong connection to Hanukkah as well. This is a whole shiur in of itself. I didn't really come prepared to share this, but it's almost Hanukkah, and who knows if we'll ever get to share this shiur. So we'll just mention just Agav, the whole inyan of Yaakov Avinu sleeping in the Makam HaMikdash with the Maisa of Asim Labanim. Because we know that the Torah, that Chazal tell us that the Yavanim came and they were metami the Makam HaMikdash. They didn't destroy the Makam, they didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, they made peritzim, they made holes in the Beis HaMikdash. But Be'etzim is that they were metami the Mikdash. The whole Indian of Tumah is different than wanting to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. When a Jew goes to sleep, a Tumah is chal on him. It's like a Tumas Misa, but a Mixas Misa. It's not Mamish a Misa. Like we said before, that sin sleeping is Doimela Misa. So just like when a Jew, when he dies, there's a Misa, and it brings a Tumah, he's a Chalol, and there's a Tumah Chamura. So too, when a Jew sleeps, there's some level of Tumah which takes place. And this Tumah is what the Torah is telling us. It's all Indian of Yavan. Because, I forget, I think it's the Bach. The Bach writes on his commentary on the Torah. He says that the reason why, what led to the Galus Yavan was the fact that the Kohanim were Mis'atzel in their avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. They were Mis'atzel and they were avoiding the Beis HaMikdash. When a Kohen becomes Mis'atzel and is avoiding the Beis HaMikdash, like he's sleeping in the Makam HaMikdash, and that brings a Tumah. And the reason why the Yavanim had the Rishus Min HaShemayim to Mitame the Beis HaMikdash is because the Kohanim, they were sleeping in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what the Nes had to happen through the Kohanim, that the Bach says, that they had to awaken themselves. It was like they woke up. Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnasai, that he woke up from his sleep. That the Kohanim woke up and they once again, they were Machanech the Beis HaMikdash, that they once again appreciate what it means to have a Beis HaMikdash. They were metahir the Beis HaMikdash from the Tumas Shena, which they brought on the Makam HaMikdash. And the whole sleeping of Yaakov in the Makam HaMikdash, and that pagam, and the kitchuk against that, has to do with the Yavanim and how they capitalize on the Shena, on the sleep, that the Jewish people had when the Beis HaMikdash was alive, when the Beis HaMikdash was well and kicking. That's the Tumah, which the Ma'isa of Sin Labanim with Yaakov Avinu, that the Sarah Shal Esav has a kitchuk on that. And that's why the whole ma'isa over here, that the Sarah Shal Esav, by attaching the Sarah Shal Esav's attack against Yaakov for having slept in the Makam HaMikdash, and the relationship, of course, to the Pachim Tanim, which we know from the Shach and the Shlakadish, which has a whole Shaychus, these Pachim Tanim to the Shemin, and even Yaakov's Shemin that he puts onto the Matzeva here. Vayitzak Shemin al Raisha, he puts the Shemin on the Makam HaMikdash, which shows that although Yaakov may have slept in the Makam HaMikdash, but when he wakes up and he puts Shemin, he's showing that the rectification and the tikkun of the Shena which I'm doing in the Makam HaMikdash will be through the Shemin of the Chashmonam in the Makam HaMikdash. So Yaakov, having been given the Kahuna, sleeping in the Beis HaMikdash, is the Toma Maisa Avasin Labanim of the Kehanim sleeping in the Beis HaMikdash, which brought about the Yavanim's kitchuk against the Yidden at that time. That's what the Torah says, Vayishkav b'makom ahu. And Vayishkav is gematria Ner Chanukah. Because the Ner Chanukah came to be masakin that Shechiva, that Vayishkav. So Chazal always say, Vay. Right? Vay. Whenever it says a Vay, it means Vay, Vayishkav means Vay Shachav. Woe to Yaakov Avinu that he slept in the Makam HaMikdash. He slept in the Makam HaMikdash, and Chazal say the Makam HaMikdash came to him. So Memeila, that was the whole Shairish of the whole Nis of Chanukah. So what Chanukah tells us, of course, we know this far, Makdashim will tell us that the whole Indian of, the very strong connection between the Indian of Regel. And this is Yedua and Sefer Chassidus, that the whole Indian of Regel, Ner the Ragli Dvarecha, that the Pasuk says, says Haragil b'ner having the banim tamei chachamim. The ner and the regel have a shayches, and you light the ner at the makam haregel, because when a person if a person chalila falls into a hergel in his avodas Hashem, so it's very easy to justify and to say, listen, I'm davening every day, I'm learning every day, I'm keeping all the mitzvahs every single day, I put on tallis and tefillin every single day. But if a person does it in an oifen of hergel, if it's mitzvahs anashim ulamada, right, that can also cause a chorban mitzvah. In primis, that's considered that a person becomes tamei in his avoda. Tumma means that a person is not, he may be doing what he's doing, and it may be right what he's doing, but it's called a tumma because you become desensitized to what a mitzvah really is. You're not in touch with the kihim chayinu what Torah mitzvah is all about. That it's not lichtig to you, that it's not lit up, it's not a ner to you. You're not margish the ner mitzvah of the Torah or of the mitzvahs. That's called a tumma. That a person could be mamash gevaldik oivet Hashem, but there's a tumma in that. That's why the Sfarim stress being so nizer in Tara and when learning Torah to make sure that the person's hands are tohar before learning, before davening, before learning, that the hands should be tohar, the person should be able to go to a mikvah before special occasions, before Shabbos to go to a mikvah. If a person has a tumah belayla to make sure to go to a mikvah, even a bachar can go to a mikvah, it's not just for married people, right? Even a bachar can go to a mikvah. Whenever there's a special occasion, it requires a mikvah. Because you want to be able, Hashem wants you should chapa his spilus, you should wake up from the mitzvah. Now a tzaddik, or not just the tzaddik, but people who is a ben aliyah, tries to go to the mikvah before every shachris, every davening, because every single shachris is a big occasion by a tzaddik. Right? We're desensitized to what shachris is all about because we daven shachris every day. But to a tzaddik, every single day shachris is a big thing. It's the biggest thing of his whole day is to daven shachris. So every day by a tzaddik, there's a big thing that goes on. No? Shachris is a big deal. So a tzaddik goes, because he doesn't want that he should become desensitized to shachris. Because shachris is such a big deal. What the Chazal tell us, the Rambam says that the Yevanim, they were goyzer against mikvah. They were goyzer against mikvah. That they didn't want Jews to serve Hashem b'tahara. There was a gzeir against the mikvah. Because they said, let the Jewish people serve Hashem, but as long as they're sleeping and they're serving Hashem, that's not such a big deal. Let them sleep and serve Hashem. And so that's why Chanukah particularly is a time that a Jew is mechazik himself in unyanim on tum of attire. That the base of Midrash became Tameh. And they came and they used the Shemin and they were Matar the base of Midrash. It was the same base of Midrash. That they were Matar the base of Midrash. That's what it means that after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we've fallen asleep a little bit to Cheshvan, and Kislev comes along and it's supposed to wake us up a little bit. That we should have, that Seder should be Seder, and davening should be davening. It's a time to, that a Jew doesn't necessarily comes to Chanukah and he says to himself, like, you know, what am I, have to totally revamp my whole Avodas Hashem? It's not like that. It means to say that whatever Kabbalah the person made in Hashem Kippur, he should bring back that his chazkas and that his shtek is to be able to want to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu better with an intensity, with a hislawath, with a ner. That he should have a cheshit like a ner, that a Jew should remember that he's a neshama, that he's a ner and he has natural kisufin and a yearning to be able to serve Hashem Yisparach. That Torah should be lichtig, that the Torah should be a ner mitzvah of Torah, or that every mitzvah should be a ner, and every limud HaTorah should be an or, should be mamish gevaldik, that you should take every single day into utilize the day, and it's not always so easy because general studies in college also matama us a little bit. So we have that influence of that of those tumas of the chachma hachitzainis. You know, I don't know if I should have said that. But the chachma hachitzainis, it's also matama a person to a certain degree. So a person, it's not easy. So especially we have to be mechazik ourselves more and more and more, especially in these tkufis. We need a lot of his chazkas to mechazik ourselves in yonah v'term etan. Kodesh Baruch Hu should see our hishtalis and our real kisufin. Shbezecha that in these days which are leading up to Ner Chanukah, to be able to do that mitzvah b'kedusha b'tahara, to be zecha to be megala neshama, without to be zecha to see the binyan b'ashlishi, to be as goyal tzarek.